from John chapter number 2. It says this: on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Well, mamas are unique. Because even though there was this moment between her and her son, she has these mama instincts to know he's going to act on this. And he did. And she prepared everybody to do it. And you look at this, whatever he asks, says to you, do it. Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. And Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. And when the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, he did not know where it came from. But the servants who had drawn the water knew. The master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine. And when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior," they probably figured by then they won't even know the difference, "you have kept the good wine until now." That's very practical, the scripture is. Very realistic and very open and honest. And there you have it right there in black and white. So, Father, I have consecrated my life to you because your word is holy. And in spite of my imperfections, Holy Spirit, speak through your vessel to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Tell your neighbor it's good to be here. Come on. It is good to be here. We have to challenge our minds. Studying develops the mind. When we don't use our mind to study, our minds don't develop, and they begin to stagnate. And the word says this: study and be eager to do your utmost to present yourself to God approved, which means tested by trial, a workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing, rightly handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. And while we enjoy praying in our prayer language, and we need to do that on a day-to-day basis, we also need to develop our minds in the Word so we are skillful to defeat the devil and dominate the spirit realm, to acquire wisdom so we can handle any money God grants us. Because there are people in the body of Christ who need a measure of wisdom because they're not sure how to handle funds and finances. Studying God's word gives you the principles. If you really want to know how to handle money, God's got the manual. It's the Bible. How to handle power. We don't want to place power in the hands of immature people who have not studied and prepared and know what God says about the use of power. Often we need to be encouraged to believe God and trust what he says. And this is a helpful truth. When we're in a tough spot, it's often difficult to find encouragers in our day. So we partner with people who come alongside and say to us, keep on believing, keep trusting the Lord. So first of all, in this passage, Jesus' mother placed a demand on him for a miracle before Jesus' moment had arrived. Jesus responded, "My hour has not yet come." Now, he'd recently been baptized by John. He'd been filled by the Holy Spirit. He'd been tested for 40 days in the wilderness. And now he attends this wedding, and there's a need. And Jesus' mother makes a request of him because she knows who he is. Many don't place a demand on the anointing someone has because they don't know who they are. Mary knew who Jesus was, even though he had yet to manifest a single miracle. Many attending church in our culture need miracles, but place no demand on the body of Christ. Rather, they'll sit through a service with little expectation for a miracle happening in their life. It's difficult to manifest hunger in a person who's already full. And so many people are filled up. Listen to this. They're technologically filled with junk food. They've got all kinds of junk in them. They feel full. They are full, but they're not leaving any room for hunger for the things of God. Not aware that there are deficits in their lives, even though they perceive that they're full. When we have a deficit in our lives, we need to put a demand on the anointing, on the presence of the Lord. And if there's pain and suffering in your life, place a demand on the anointing. But often people just attend and they sit in church like they're content and they're full. We are not full. Even if we think we are, if we still have a need, we are far from full. So Mary understood somebody has to place a demand. He called her, his mother, woman. He didn't address her as mama. But Mary placed a demand on the anointing he had yet to use in ministry and in serving. She put a demand on the gift not made public yet. She placed a demand unexercised as yet, but she knew what was in Jesus. She knew Jesus had the ability to make the circumstance better. We need to be aware when we're around someone who has the ability to make the circumstance better. Many wait for someone else to act. No, step up in faith and test the anointing God's placed in your life. We don't need to wait for someone else to display the anointing. Why don't you simply just test the anointing the Holy Spirit has granted to you? Why not just believe God tonight that you can put a demand on his presence? Mary placed a demand on the anointing. And remember, the anointing destroys every yoke. And if you have a yoke burdened down, place a demand on the anointing. If you've been depressed, put a demand on the anointing. If you're not feeling well, place a demand on the anointing. If you're fighting debt, put a demand on the anointing. If your children are estranged from God, put a demand on the anointing of the Spirit of God. You will walk out of here tonight better than when you arrived. We need to stop treating church services like it's a TV show. This isn't a reality show. This is empowerment time. We don't come in here to tune the station in and say, well, this is what I'm going to watch tonight, and just to kind of sit back and the eyes get glazed over. No, this is not a TV show. This is empowerment time. This is where we dig in and we receive from the Lord. Mary observed there was a need, and she puts a demand on the anointing, even though to date she has never seen it manifested in his life. Imagine that for the first time you walked into a service and you knew something good is going to happen in my life. Before you heard the first praise and worship song, before there was a prayer, before the word was preached, before you were hugged by God's people, you arrived believing something is about to change in my life, and you sense something good is going to happen. And I've been in services right here where before anything else happened, the Holy Spirit began to create miracles in the lives of people. Amen. Because there was a demand being put on the presence of the Lord. So Mary sensed in her being, we might be out of wine right now, but the provider is present. The provider is here. We have to sense within our hearts, we have a need. We have a situation. We might be in a battle. We may have lost a little ground, but we're not going to be losing by the time we walk out of here tonight. Mary placed a demand on the anointing so there would be a manifested miracle. That was a creative miracle of God. He turned water into wine. And anticipating and expecting and putting a demand on Jesus, believing, is because she knew Jesus. Maybe we ought to know Jesus better. And when you know Jesus, you come into his presence with expectation. That's who receives, the one who knows Jesus, the one who gets close to Jesus. You arrive with a diagnosis, you leave with a miracle. Does anybody need a miracle? Yes. And when you need a miracle, put a demand on the anointing. Say, I'm going to tap into that because I've got to have an answer. It may even be a creative one. Now, some don't need a job. They need a miracle because something has to change in them. A job won't get you out of your mentality or your condition. They need obedience to the word and an anointing to strengthen them so they can handle the finances God trusts them with. Understand, when you're in a condition, you don't need a paycheck. You need a breakthrough so you can handle God's provision properly. You realize God is the provider. That's what Mary knew and what she was saying, so you can receive your miracle from the provider. Mary remembered God's promises to her. She tapped into those promises on that day in the middle of a demand and a need. People need some fresh wine here. Second, whether God does something miraculous is connected to our believing. It's connected to our believing. I need a miracle, but can't believe it. I need God to show up tomorrow. But at 9 p.m. tonight, I don't know if I'm going to be able to believe that God will do something amazing by the dawn tomorrow morning. You see, it's not whether or not God can. He can. Yeah? It's not that God lacks those anointed by him in the body of Christ. We struggle with believing. That's where our struggle is. Remember the man who had a son having seizures? And the devil was trying to destroy him and kill him and burn him to death. And often he was thrown, he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can what? All things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, in pure honesty and transparency, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I'm struggling. Help me. He'd been through some stuff. He probably had some hiccups in his life. He was probably beaten down by watching the tragedy happening day after day to his son. I've been with some of your leadership, and they haven't been able to help me. I'm struggling with faith so that I can have a miracle for my boy. Perhaps the mother in the picture was gone because if you read the story, she was nowhere to be mentioned or be found. He said, help my unbelief. God only knows what this man had to deal with. I've been struggling believing in worship, believing in prayer, believing in the word, trusting your leadership. I need some help, he said, with my unbelief. I need some help. The disciples had been praying, but dad no longer had faith to connect. And he calls for prayer, but he's struggling with his belief. Incoming text message, God wants to help you out of the dilemma. I said, God wants to help you out of this dilemma. God wants your breakthrough. Not wanting us to get comfortable having our pity parties. And some people get very comfortable having pity parties. In fact, I think some people look forward to them. They can hardly wait to walk up to you and start their pity party. And you happened to me this week, and you can't believe it. God wants you to be free so you don't need anybody. Listen, so you celebrate. And you, in the celebration, you don't even need anybody to show up with pom-poms and party hats. You're going to have a party because you simply believe God. It seems like things are never going to change, but when I begin believing, things begin to change. They will change. And then I've got added energy and an added passion burning in my heart that I can add to the anointing, believing I'm going to have what I'm requesting from the Lord. We are encouraged to believe by the presence of the Lord. And whether God does something miraculous does depend on whether we believe according to your faith. So we can track things like finances and giving and growth and decline, and stats are everywhere for you to examine. But I believe God wants to do something that we just can't measure. There's no way you can put this into the statistics and come out with this and go, this could not have happened except there was supernatural intervention, because all the criteria, all the mathematics and all of the input that we've had and we've calculated, it would never have happened. This could not happen. The odds are too great against it. God wants to do something out of the box with every single one of us, but our carnal minds block miracles. You might want to write that one down. Our carnal minds block miracles. Why? Because our carnal minds are in enmity with God. It's like analog versus digital. It's right there at your fingertips. And we need to step up with God into the miracle realm. We move from analog to digital. If you're struggling learning this faster moving miracle God, step out of the analog. And if need be, I mean, have another baby so they can grow up and he or she at the age of 2 or 3 can show you how digital works. I sent a text and a picture to one of my friends. He's a professor. I mean, he's a genius, but he has never stepped out of analog. He's still an analog. And he goes, I got your text, but I didn't see the picture. I said, what do you mean you didn't see the picture? Oh, my phone doesn't show the... What kind of phone do you have? He said, I have one of those old flip phones. I said, well, of course you can't see the picture. Get out of analog. Go to digital. And like I said, go get a little kid. They'll show you so fast how all that operates, right? Have one if you need one. But we have to step from struggling faith to believing faith, because he'll do it, amen? What he did once, he still does. Man, today you can be in your home or in your office and start your car without having to go out to the car. It won't be long. All you have to do is say, start, and your car will start out in the parking lot. God's been trying to get us to open our mouths and speak it. But some have gotten so quiet in the body of Christ for fear. Someone will look at me strange, or someone will think I'm strange, or someone will think I've gone off the edge. You aren't talking to them. You're talking to God. You're telling God, I believe what you said. And God is bringing us into a season when we start talking, good things are going to happen. Alexa sits on your desk, silently waiting for your commands. You say, Alexa, and her blue light starts spinning. You tell her to play your favorite song. Unless you activate Alexa with a voice command, right? She's never going to give you what you're desiring of. And so when the kids come over, they'll go over to Alexa and say, Alexa, play JoJo Siwa. Boomerang. Alexa, play Hold the Drama. Hold the Drama now. Let's hold it. Okay? Hold the Drama. Okay? No matter how many devils attempt to... Listen. Alexa is synchronized with my voice. And no matter how many devils attempt to curse it, God's work is synchronized with my voice. That's how God works with us. Something will happen, something starts shifting when we open our mouths and we begin to tell our God, this is your word I'm speaking, this is what you said, let the playlist start running, this is what I want and expect from you. As Alexa is synchronized with my voice, something will happen, something will shift when I make a confession that's based on God's word. And as Alexa has to respond, the atmosphere around me has to respond when I start speaking the truth of God's word, because I'm in sync with what God says to me. Open your mouth in your house, base your confession on God's word, the atmosphere starts to change, devils will get up and exit out of your life. Amen. My posture, I believe God still performs miracles for his people. And we are in miracle territory when we have the ability to believe. We receive that ability by acquiring God's word every day. We keep ingesting the truth. And it won't be long, you're able to play it back. And you're able to be in sync with what God says because it's what God wills. We have to get into environments of worship like this to activate the presence of the Lord. Now, if I don't tell Alexa to stop, she can continue playing my playlist. And go on and on and on. And there are miracles you can release that will just keep on flowing. All of a sudden, you hit something in the presence of God, and miracle one after another, all of a sudden they begin to fall in place and things start to happen. But learn to speak to the mountain. Daily ingest God's word. Daily believe what he says. Daily flow in the favor of the Lord. Tell your neighbor, learn to believe. Learn to believe. Study to show yourself acceptable to God. Right? Learn to believe. A workman who doesn't need to be ashamed, who rightly divides the word of truth. Some don't believe until they get to the mountaintop. Then, oh yeah, God, look, oh, I praise you now. If we believe while we're in the valley, then we come up out of the valley, up the side of the mountain. The lessons we have learned mean I won't have to go revisit that same valley again because I got promoted out of that valley. I learned my best lessons in low places. Learn the lesson where you are so you don't repeat the actions that take you back to that place. Tell your neighbor, I learned while I was in the valley. Yeah. And when you're hurting, you ought to learn something. It's the process. All too many times, all we do is squeal and holler because we want relief instead of learning. What am I supposed to learn in this process? When depressed, learn something. When there are insufficient funds, learn something. I believed my way out of where I didn't want to remain because I trusted in the Lord. Then I learned to believe to go where I know where God wants me to go. Have you ever believed yourself out of something? That's the will of the Lord. Then you can believe yourself into the place that God has for you, where he wants you to go. Our attitude changes when we begin to believe. And the reason many are down in spirit, they believe the lie from the pit. Now you can interact with two negative people and your faith is neutralized. But get with believers. Get with people of faith. They will strengthen your faith to trust God. Third, in this season, surround yourself with those who are committed to obeying God's word. Man, if there ever was a day we need righteousness returned to the body of Christ, it's today. Amen? Holiness, righteousness, right living, living according to the precepts of God's word. Amen? And it's time for us to do that in the church. This is extremely important. There are those who will throw a negative thought into what you know God instructed you to do. And they can talk faith right out of your spirit unless you've built a wall of protection around yourself. Be wise about whom you listen to. Seek wise and experienced counsel. That is good use of this. When God gives me direction, done. That's it. Mary knew who Jesus was. She said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. I love that. We need to apply that simple statement to all the decisions of living. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. No arguing, no debating, no buts, no if, but I'm, no. No. This is what he tells you to do. Do it. Instruction. We are out of wine. We need to know when we are in a condition, we don't reject God's direction. Mary sees the crisis begin to break. She knows Jesus has the ability to mitigate an embarrassment, and she speaks up, and they were prepped to listen, and they listened. What a great pattern for us. When we know what God wants, when we are prepped, when his word is released, we need to act. When we are on the verge of seeing a full-blown crisis, we know we need a miracle. It's all coming down. In this story, there was more than a family crisis. The entire village was going to be affected because everybody turned out for these wedding feasts. So when God releases a word to you, when the leader has heard from God, our job is to act. Acting when we have heard a word is the expression of faith. That's how we express faith. We act on what we've heard. So when I have a word for the body, when pastor is encouraging you to act on what God is revealing, listen, it does matter how we respond. And our act of faith or lack of it affects not only our own outcome, but the outcome for the church, because we all have impact on each other. So that's why I spend hours praying, waiting, seeking, honing, sacrificing, to get a word, to bring a word together. And then some let others talk them out of it. When you need a miracle, you need to get people around you, not people who want to just assert their opinion. Those who encourage you in the instruction you've been given. Because everybody's got an opinion. The question is, has it been dug out of this? Has it been ferreted out of God's word? Has it been brought to you by one who has prayed over it, believed God for it, revelation, and now wants to have you apply it in your life? I was reading in the book of Acts. I'm reading it from the original language translation. It's a beautiful passage. And it says this in essence. It says that all the people, all of them, gladly listened to the teaching of their spiritual leadership and applied it. And I thought, wow, no wonder there was miracles in the early church. Because they were listening and applying what their spiritual leadership was teaching them. And when they did that, it says, in spite of all the diversity, in spite of all the different kinds of people in the church, in spite of all the different opinions people have about life, they would listen to their spiritual leadership teach them. They would apply that to how they lived. And God was doing great miracles in the church, and all the needs of the people were being met. And there was great joy among the people, and the Lord was adding to the church every single day people being born again. But the sentence starts with, all the people listened gladly and applied the teaching of their spiritual leadership. Man, that is a far cry from where we are today. in the Western cultured church. Yeah. Listen to spiritual leadership. God's put them in position for a reason. He's put five gifts into the body of Christ for the purpose of building it up, strengthening it, teaching and leading it. Those are his gifts to the church. And when they're speaking to you, you should listen to what they're saying. But in our culture, because we have so much of our freedom and independence that we've tried to mix into the kingdom of God, that sometimes we can't differentiate my personal freedom from how we are in now the kingdom of God and how things work in his kingdom. So our attitude is, since I don't, my mind doesn't agree with what you're saying to me, because sometimes our minds don't agree with what God says. Our natural minds, in many cases, does not like what God says. So then we, well, that's your opinion. Not if it's based on this word. It's not a matter of opinion. It's a matter of what God says, and are we going to do what God says? I only wish that could have happened in so many cases. I can't tell you how many train wrecks we would have stopped if people would have just listened. So on those days you sense depression and you're ready to throw the towel in and you're tempted to quit, you need people around you who say, do you recall the last message Pastor preached on depression and how to lift yourself out of that? You recall what the Holy Spirit revealed in that truth. You recall the teaching from the Word. That's the atmosphere we need to create, where the people of the Lord can be refreshed and renewed and helped, because the Word of God under the anointing is applied to the lifestyle that we live. If we create that atmosphere, everything God promised is going to manifest in the church. It won't get canceled out. And we'll have the same things going on in our church as was happened in the early church. And I long for that in the church. Some want to cast doubt and unbelief so you won't surpass them. So when God's given you something that you know he's planted deep in your spirit, and you begin to express it like Joseph, I preached about this morning, but some people want to negate it. They want to poo-poo it and say, no, no, that's not, because they don't want you to surpass them. Do you know you're a threat to some people? I said, do you know you're a threat? You make some people nervous, not because of anything that you said. It's just because of how you have embraced the truth of God's word and who you are in Christ, and you're maturing and you're growing and you're developing and you're stretched in the presence of. So don't allow any of that to bother you. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. See, God was using an evil empire to chastise his own people. I just read it to you. He was also a mighty man of valor, so he was a great warrior, but a leper. Incurable. And he had it all figured out. This is how I'm going to get my miracle. How the man of God ought to speak to me. Under what conditions I'm going to get healed. How am I going to receive my breakthrough? Naaman had it all figured out. I'm a leader. I've got a good brain. I know what I'm thinking. This is the way I'm thinking. He had it all figured out. Be careful when you think you have it all figured out and it's still not happening. Careful. He's now upset with the man of God because the man of God didn't do what he thought he ought to do. The man of God should have come out of his house to see me and waved his hand over me so my leprosy would have been reversed. That was what General Naaman said. Be careful not to instruct God how a miracle should manifest. Do not take that posture with God. Take the posture, whatever way, in any way, shape, or form you want to I'm good with it because you're God and I'm not. And then he goes on to say, after he finally does get some instruction, are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? I got to go dip in that mud? Really? Could I not wash in them and then cleanse? So he turns and goes away in a rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, If the prophet had told you to do something great, would you have not done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? So he went down, and he dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. It's cured. It was a miracle right in front of everybody that could see. And the man of God had passed him instruction, but it wasn't the way he thought. Well, this is the way I think. This is the way my brain works. He had a hard time following instruction. Some are like that today. He was instructed to go step into the dirty Jordan River to be healed. And he objected. I don't like that. Doesn't suit me. Doesn't fit me. Today we've got many who think that everything is figured out in their own frame of reference, but they never receive a miracle. Do you think that that's coincidental that when you take the posture, I've got this figured out, that you don't get a miracle? All the answers, but still no victory. He didn't like the instruction from the man of God. I don't like that. But that was God's instruction for Naaman. That's what God told his prophet to tell the general. God knows we need more than a physical healing or miracle. We need to learn to obey with a humble heart, because that's where miracles begin, with the posture of my heart. So his servants came near and spoke to him. Have you gotten so big and superior that you don't listen to anybody? These were his servants that attended to him. Have you prospered so much that no one can tell you anything? Well, God will humble you by sending his servant to give you quality instruction. He was all that in a bag of chips, but he had leprosy, and there wasn't anyone on the planet that could fix that. No one. He cannot solve this issue. He's got no means, no matter how powerful, influential he is, to fix or cure. And now he's been given instruction how to receive a miracle. We need to remind one another of what God says. That's why we need each other in the body, so we can encourage each other, remind each other. This is what God says. My wife reminds me of what I've preached. She does a really good job. She's a really good speaker. I mean, she's dynamic. We all need to allow God's truth to come back to us. None of us are exempt from being taught. I'm glad when I sit with my brethren and my pastor takes about 15 or 20 minutes and teaches me the truth that God's laid on his heart. God takes a servant who has humility and he speaks to the leader. Naaman would have died with leprosy had not the servant reminded him of what the man of God had just spoken to him. So get people around you to remind you of what's been preached, what's been revealed from God's word. Get those around you who remind you of the promises of God. Don't surround yourself with those who speak foolishly or out of their own agenda. It's not just sports, baseball, football. Steph, when you're diagnosed with a life-threatening issue, you don't care what Durant is going to do next season. What you care about is, what did the man of God say? What was preached in the house of the Lord? Who's been decreed and declared over my life? I need to know what God says, because everything else doesn't mean anything. Have people around you who agree with God's promises over your life. Surround yourself with those kind. Get those around you when you attempt to drift in the wrong direction. They remind you of what God told you when God was speaking to you through his word. Amen. Have those come around you who hear what God is speaking to you and remind you of what God said to you. When you're down, when you're at your weakest moment, you have to have those around you who remind you, this is what the Lord says to you. I don't care if there's someone over you in the Lord or someone who serves you in the Lord, God will speak through whomever is a willing servant. to anyone who has a humble heart to listen. This is worth the price of your attendance tonight, by the way. This will mature you. We have minimized the Word of God and made casual truth spoken by the illumination of the Holy Spirit to our detriment. Because we have minimized it, we've made it casual. We treat church and the preaching of the Word like we're sitting in front of the TV and watching one of our favorite programs. When God starts speaking truth to you, get yourself together and listen. God is so adamant about you getting to your destiny and fulfilling your purpose in life, He'll even use somebody like me to carry His word to you. How about that? I'm going to receive what God has for me, and I don't care where it comes from, as long as it's based in the principles and truths of God's written word. I will receive what God has for me, no matter who carries. This is what the Lord says. Whoever shows up to carry God's word to me, I will say yes and amen if I can find that principle in God's word. I don't want to be resisting what God says to me, because I only shoot myself in the foot every time I do that. And here's what happens to people who do that. They soon forgot His works. And they did not wait for His counsel. But lusted exceedingly in the wilderness. What does that mean? Well, this is what we want. This is what we want. And tested God in the desert. And He gave them their request. And that comes with a price tag. And sent leanness into their soul. Their spiritual life dried up. It's over. It reminds me of Balaam. Don't abuse prayer. Balaam answered and said to the servants of Balak, "Though Balak were to give me this house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the word of the Lord my God or do less or more. Now therefore, please, you also stay here tonight that I may know what more the Lord will say to me." Now watch this. Balaam sounded noble, yet at the core, down deep in his spirit, was this underlying greed and desire for what he wanted, even more than what God wanted. And he totally contradicts himself in that prayer and in that statement. First he says, "Keep your money." And God said, "No." Then he asked for money. He asked the money people to spend that night to see if God, he said, "I need to see if God will change His mind. Maybe God will change His mind. So I'll spend the night and I'll wait and see if God has a different opinion tomorrow morning." I believe in the power of prayer. However, there's abuse of prayer. Prayer is being used as an excuse for delaying, remaining silent, escaping responsibility. The key to the Lord's Prayer is, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Prayer is designed to give us direction. But if you pray until you get the direction you like, then you have the spirit of Balaam. That's a dangerous place to get. What does that mean? That means when you keep pushing God, when He's already told you His answer, and you don't stop, and you keep pushing Him and pushing Him, and He said, "No." But you keep insisting. There are times when God will say, "Go for it." And He'll let you have your train wreck. When had you listened to His first answer, you'd have been safe. You hearing me back here? Yeah, I can hear you amening, girl. Moses knew he was supposed to lead the people through that Red Sea, and he hesitated, and God was not pleased with his hesitation. And the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying to me? Tell the people to get moving. There was already instruction here. And disobedience is one of the prime reasons we've lost this generation. True intercession never becomes a substitute for soul winning. We have an obligation to take the gospel. God's offered wisdom. He's given us direction. He's told us exactly what he wants us to do. And we can't excuse our lack of doing it by saying, well, I'm praying about it. I'm just going to keep praying about it. Listen, we've got to act on what God says, and he expects us to do what he asks. That's what God's word's all about. They soon forgot his works. How do you forget that? Well, I know how, because I've watched that happen in some of the saints. God's done some great things in people's lives, and all of a sudden, it's like it never happened. Well, that's what you did for me last week. What are you going to do for me today, God? They did not wait for his counsel. Well, so what? We know what we want to go do, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tested God in the desert. You don't want to do that to God. And he gave them their request. What does that mean? He will sometimes say, if that's the big idol in your life, and that's what you want to worship, I'm going to give that to you. And then you will suffer the consequence. I will believe what God has said to me. And because I believe it, I will receive what he said to me. Because I simply believe what he says is true. What promise is hanging over your own life? What did God tell you in a dream, yet you're still struggling to believe it here tonight? What good thing have you heard, and you're struggling still for your blessing? Stop fighting with your blessing. Believe you'll receive it. Do what he asks, and you're going to have it. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. So don't place yourself in an environment where people will begin to sap your faith and fill you with negativity. Don't make them your close confidants. Because when you need a word, one that reaffirms what God promised you a decade ago, it's been 10 years for some when God made the original promise to you. Now is when you need someone to step up and say, excuse me, no disrespect intended, but do you remember what the word of God said? Do you remember the word that God revealed to you? Do you remember when pastor went and confirmed it and delivered a word and not knowing your circumstance? You need someone who will confirm your word, not steal your faith. Because you'll go through battles. You'll engage fights for faith, and in the process, you'll get chiseled by God so you are prepared for a breakthrough. And if you're not careful, listen, you'll forget everything God taught you. So record it if necessary. Put it down somewhere. I want to remind myself of what God said, to repeat back to me what he said to me. I will not talk myself out of what you spoke to me. I will replay it, and I will replay it, and I will bring it before you and remind you, not that your memory fails, God, but I want you to know I haven't forgot what you said. I'm reminding and reminding and praying back to you and delivering to you your promise to me. So you tell your neighbor, I'm replaying it again, and I'll replay it again, and I'll keep replaying it until it manifests. No matter that the devil doesn't want me to have what God promised, I will have it because God said it belongs to you. Play it again. Play it again. Because healing is mine. My children are serving God. That's mine. Financial breakthrough is mine. Emotional stability is mine. Peace is mine. Why? Because he's made great and precious promises to me in his word about how he wants me to live. And I will have those around me reminding me of what God promised me. And those of you in the body of Christ, you all need to be in connect groups for this purpose and for this reason, because you need people around you every single week to get around you and remind you, these are the promises God made to you. Do you remember when God delivered a word to you? Do you remember when you were at the altar and you were laying yourself bare before Him and you made commitments to Him and you said, I will serve you, Lord, wherever you want me to. But where are you now? What's happening? Excuse me, what are you thinking and what are you doing? What happened to the promise you made to the Lord? What happened to the covenant you made with Him? You see, that's why we need each other, because we sharpen each other. Well, I don't like that. Well, I know you don't like that. Nobody likes that. But that's the way God's fitted us into His body, by allowing us to gather together and be reminded from one another about those great and exceeding promises that He's made and that we've latched onto and stand believing for. I've got a loyalty obligation to serve my master, even when it's not comfortable. Even when my old nature wants to go do something else. Even when, well, that would be easier if I didn't have to keep this obligation. I will keep my obligation. I will pay my vows to the Lord. Those things I pledged to Him, I will not forget. I will say it again. I will repeat it again. I will write it down again. I'll go back to my Bethel, and I will find the altar where I consecrated my life and once again be refreshed there with all His promises and my promises and my commitment to Him. And say, no matter how tough it gets, or how hard the journey, I've got no room to complain, because You carried my sins and my failures on up that hill, bleeding out, so I could have eternal life. So at the very least, I can do whatever it is You expected me to do, because that's what You did for me. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. Get with people around you who remind you of what God promised you. So when you start to flag in the race and stuff gets tough, and it looks like you're getting winded, they'll come alongside. You can do this. You can do this. And we're here to help you do it. We're ready to help you do it. Amen? We're ready to help you do it. Now, I'm going to ask you in a minute to get up, and I want you to come to the altar with people around you who will encourage you in the faith. People you know in the body of Christ that know how to pray, who believe in you, who believe that God has something good for you. I'm going to ask everybody to do that. Those who are going to remind you of what God said to you. And when you start to whine and have a pity party, they're going to say, no, stop. It's like what God says to me periodically when I started on that road. You know what He says. I've told you what He tells me. Are you done now? Okay? No. This is the way it's going to be. Tell your neighbor, God has a promise over your life. Tell them, God has a promise over your life. Why? Because life happened, and people forget what God has promised. And they let their dream drift off like some cloud in the sky, and don't keep track anymore of what God had promised them. They forgot, because life happened, because there have been crises, there have been valleys. There have been battles. There's fatigue, exhaustion, times when you feel like, I don't even know what I'm doing here today. Okay? Life happened. And now you know the value of brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. They remind you of what God promised you. So Calvary, it's time for great breakthrough in the church, starts in the church, and then in our community. No devil will prevent your miracles. They are already in the atmosphere, willed by God for you to embrace. It shall come to pass, says the Lord. Come on and celebrate. Stand to your feet and celebrate the goodness of God.